Our assigned gospel reading for this day comes from the third chapter of Mark. And immediately before the reading for today, this is still very early on, Jesus had just chosen his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles. And then we pick up with, then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. And Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, let's face it, preaching each Sunday from one of the assigned lectionary scripture passages can be a harsh taskmaster. And case in point, today's gospel reading from Mark 3. Within these 15 verses, we are confronted with issues like family interventions, demonic possession and exorcisms, Satan, the consequences of being divided, the unpardonable sin, and a new definition of what it means to be a family. And when this scripture passage comes up in the lectionary every 3 years, I cringe. And thankfully, 3 years ago, I was on sabbatical in Ireland and Scotland, so I got to skip it. But here we go. Chances are you are familiar with the phrase, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Now, most folks think the author of this famous phrase is Abraham Lincoln, because he used it so effectively in 1856 during his Illinois senatorial debate with Stephen Douglas. And Lincoln rightly recognized the impossibility of the United States enduring the status of being half slave and half free. And the resulting Civil War almost bore witness to the falling of a nation that was so severely divided against itself. And our Presbyterian denomination during the time of the Civil War, however, did indeed fulfill the prediction of how a house divided against itself will not stand. Many Presbyterian theologians and pastors in the South defended and justified both slavery and secession from the Union by using Scripture. After all, in the Old Testament, Abraham was a slave owner, and the laws of Moses did not abolish slavery. Instead, it regulated it. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul admonished Christian slaves to obey their masters and to simply be content with their lot in life. to be the best slave that you can be. It was the division over this issue of slavery that was the straw that broke the camel's back in our denomination. Presbyterians split into northern and southern branches, and we remained separate denominations for over 120 years, not reuniting until 1983. So when we reflect upon how Christian churches in this country are divided over any number of issues today, we need only look at our own history to notice that divisions have led to divided houses that fall time and time again. And the prevailing winds today, unfortunately, indicate that the United Methodist Church denomination may indeed still split over the issue of sexual identity and the ordination of open LGBTQ persons of faith. And of course, many Presbyterian congregations in the PCUSA did indeed leave our denomination when we settled the matter in the affirmative 7 years ago. And Kirk of the Hills Church here in Eastern Oklahoma Presbytery left before even a final decision was made. Now, the good news is that over the past several years, the Presbyterian Church USA is not nearly the house divided as it was before those departures, and especially since several other congregations left after the allowing of marriage of LGBTQ persons 3 years ago. You know, we've learned that when one part of the family simply cannot be in relationship with the rest, then separation, even if it is not God's will, is one option. Like issues before it, including slavery, the ordination of women, whether divorced clergy should be defrocked, the allowing of interracial marriage, and a woman's right to reproductive choice, which, by the way, is the official position of our denomination, some people continue to cherry-pick selected Bible verses to vehemently defend historical and traditional positions and practices which folks like us consider to be steeped in prejudice, injustice, ignorance, and fear. It's unconscionable and downright sinful for anyone to use Scripture to uphold the supposed superiority and privilege of any group of people over another. And it still happens a lot. But one of the questions that we are called to wrestle with is this: are there legitimate issues that divide a house to such a point that division becomes the only option? Well, if, for instance, that house is a family facing the horror of domestic violence and abuse, then that, in my opinion, is indeed a legitimate cause for separation, for that house to fall. Yet Jesus' point remains valid. Any entity truly divided against itself can reach the point that it cannot stand, whether it be a household or the church or a country. And this scripture passage hopes that the house, however that is defined, never reaches that point of division. That's why, through God's Spirit, we continue to work for unity. Now, in the context of Jesus' statement about divided houses not being able to stand, comes another issue I just want to briefly address. One that is almost never dealt with within our denomination. As the church lady would say, can you say Satan? Our biblical story reports that the scribes are trying to destroy Jesus' authority with the crowds by claiming that his power to cast out demons was coming from Satan himself, not from God. And I will have to wait for some other occasion to fully address this issue, which is referred to as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, called the unpardonable sin. But as I have heard it explained, If you have ever worried whether or not you have committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't. Well, Jesus claimed the scribes' charge was preposterous, because that would mean that the prince of demons was casting out demons, and that would lead to a divided house that could not stand. But how do we approach this issue of satanic power, of evil, in our progressive postmodern age? Well, for that, I want to turn to some thoughts by the Reverend Gibson Strope, a human rights author and the pastor of a diverse Oakhurst Presbyterian Church in Decatur, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, and he writes, "Satan does not necessarily mean a personality with horns and a red tail, but it does name the demonic power that is actively engaged against the compassionate and reconciling love of God. This is the reality that Jesus names here. And whether we believe in a person named Satan is not as important as hearing about our captivity to the powers of evil signified by the name Satan, powers that continue to seek our allegiance. Satan and Beelzebul names the forces and configurations of power that capture us and cause us to inflict harm upon ourselves and hurt others and hurt God." And Strope rightly then lists some of these destructive powers, such as racism, patriarchy, materialism, and militarism. These powers of darkness still have a strong hold over and in this country, do they not? In reference to Satan, Jesus tells a parable in which the strong man must first be bound up before he can be dealt with. And the same is true with all the destructive forces and powers that we face today. So an important part of my ministry here in Tulsa is indeed focused on addressing the issue of racism that still exists, including the unconscious bias that a majority of those of us who are white still have toward people of color. We all have our own work to do in this regard. Now, mixed up with all of this is Jesus' family, who thinks he's gone out of his mind, or at least off the deep end. So in an act that we would call today a family intervention, they seek to remove Jesus from the crowds that he's teaching. And Jesus' response seems harsh and even offensive, but it is really just a teaching about expanding our circle of inclusiveness and where we place our highest loyalties. Jesus redefines family by expanding it beyond simple blood relatives to include all those who, quote, do the will of God as his brothers and sisters and mother. In other words, our loyalty to God and following the ways and teachings of Jesus should take precedence over all our other loyalties, including those that we have long held sacred. So Jesus refuses to allow culture or even familial expectations to thwart his mission, and we are asked to do the same. And Strope adds a personal illustration for which I think many of us can find points of connection. He says that even though he grew up with white supremacy as culturally and to an extent religiously acceptable, even within his own family, he came to understand that racism is not God's will. He began to be in internal conflict with the beliefs of his family and community, whom he deeply loved. How many of us here today haven't gone through some of the same struggle in dealing with and sometimes rejecting some of the things that we were taught and were ingrained in us as children by family, by the church, and by the culture in which we grew up? And many of us then might now be able to appreciate why Jesus called the configuration of destructive and oppressive forces Satan. And can understand why Jesus, though not anti-family, indicated that his loving family might sometimes be part of the problem. Therefore, that's why so many of us, especially those who have experienced rejection to some extent by their biological families, rely so deeply on their chosen family. Therefore, with what is most likely an overriding sentiment of every person gathered here this morning, we are blessed to be able to call College Hill our family. We are blessed to be able and should be deeply grateful that while being able to acknowledge our differences, we are not a house divided. Therefore, by the grace of God, we will not fall. No, by the way, the answer of what to do when the house is divided is to simply continue to love God, to love your neighbor, to love yourself. And while we're at it, let's not fuel any more flames or pour fuel on the fires of polarization and division that we face on a daily basis. Amen.